Thank you, Seth, for sharing.
All right. Well, so good to be here this morning. And the message I'm going to bring, well, before I get there, last night I had the opportunity to go on to watch Jesus. And I just want to say this, if you guys haven't seen Jesus at Sight and Sound, go, after you leave here, go buy a ticket and go see it. All right? highly recommend it. It was incredible, powerful, spoke in many different ways. And it was a blessing. My parents took our family to for Christmas, so it was really good. But as I was getting ready for this message, and it was coming off fresh from what we were learning here in Sunday school, and so we're going to look at looking at what's coming ahead of us is Christmas. And what was spoken already this morning was, wait, is that really in there? Like that, like a point came out, like, well, so we're not supposed to make sure we're perfect before we come to communion. And so many things that I believe we come from, we learn from tradition. It's not a bad thing, but we've learned it from tradition that we don't learn it for ourselves from the Word of God. And therefore, we don't really know what we believe is truly from the Word of God. And so how much of the Christmas story is like that? We've become so familiar to it. We do it every year. I've done it. This is going to be my 27th year. I'm going to be celebrating Christmas. It just comes around every year, and it becomes so familiar. And I think it's good for us to really actually read the stories and really actually dive into what is behind this. And so this morning, I hope it's a very simple message. I think it's a message we've all heard before. We all know it. But I trust that God is going to just make it known, like, okay, wow, this is really real, and this is really who I am, and this is really who Jesus is in my life, and that it's just going to come alive, and it's going to bring realization to us. If you can pull that slide up. So the first slide, this is the title of my message is what it came from. It'll make sense later, I promise. What? I promise it comes from, somehow is related to the Christmas story. But what? So as we look, again, as we look ahead and where we're going this next month in studying in Jesus' birth and recognizing and just celebrating our Savior come, that we're going to dive into this one spot. And that is, we're going to turn to Micah 5:2. So if you guys want to turn to Micah 5:2, actually it's up on the screen. Go ahead and change the slide. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are you too little to be among the clans of Judah? From you shall come forth for me one who is to be a ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. That's Micah 5:2. This was about 700 plus years before Jesus was born that it was claimed that there's going to be a ruler born in Bethlehem. And it's here it says that it's too little to be among the clans of Judah. And here, who all knows, just a little pop quiz, what happened in Bethlehem? Anyone know what happened in Bethlehem other than Jesus being born? Significant stories in the Bible? Anyone? Who else was born in Bethlehem? We'll start there. It's easy. I don't believe so. He was a king. King David, yes. King David. That's really what put Bethlehem on the map. The first time Bethlehem came on the map was, I believe, Rachel was buried there. I think that was the first time in Genesis. That's the first time we see Bethlehem in the story. Who else? Who got redeemed in Bethlehem? Another very significant story. Go home and read it. It's a girl. Name of the book of the Bible. Not Esther. Ruth. Yeah, Ruth. Ruth was redeemed in Bethlehem. On, I believe it was even on Pentecost. She was redeemed. So a couple significant things, specifically King David. That's what really brought Bethlehem on the map. And after that, it kind of became insignificant. Bethlehem became really unknown to the people. It became a very small village, and no one really knew much about it. And we're going to go ahead. Next slide here. Bethlehem. The word Bethlehem actually means house of bread. So if you look, if you split it up, Bethlehem is house of bread. And then there, it was also named Ephrath because there was actually two Bethlehems. So it was actually, it had two names to it. It was a place of fruitfulness is what it means. I've also read somewhere else, I could not find it myself, but from a couple of scholars, claim that Ephrath also means ash of heap. Some Hebrew that I don't know, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but they claim that it means ash of heap. I'm not saying that from what I could find, I could not find this to be, but it was really interesting that ash of heap is also means life out of death. So Bethlehem Ephrath is house of bread, place of fruitfulness, life out of death. And this is where Jesus is born. Okay? So we're going to focus on a place called Bethlehem this morning. So next, go ahead, go to the next slide there. Bread come from heavens. Who knows the story where bread comes from the heavens?
I know.
Yeah?
I think it's in Moses' time.
Yeah, Moses' time. We're going to go ahead to Exodus 16, 1 through 5. You guys want to pull that up? So they set out from Elim, and all of the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month, after they had departed from the land of Egypt, and the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full? For you have brought us out in this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not." So right here is a time where God is providing for his people bread of heaven, bread from heaven. And in the New Testament, we won't go there yet. So it is, they called manna. What's my next slide there? Yeah, manna from heaven. So manna is actually, the Hebrew word is man. Like, yeah, man from Jamaica. Man is how you would say it. And what it means is what? Question mark. So this stuff came from heaven, landed before the people, and they're like, "What?" And for 40 years, this is what the people of Israel survived off of. Bread from heaven, manna, man. What in the world is this? Why we're supposed to feed? We had pots of meat and bread. We were full, but we were in slavery. It's so quickly and how easily we forget the bondage of slavery. The little pieces of just here, have just a little goodness, but we're still in bondage. So I want to look at the other bread that came down from heaven in the New Testament. Who is that?
Jesus.
So let's turn to John 6, 32 to 35. Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said to him, "Sir, give us the bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." So here Jesus is claiming And this is, and this time would be extremely radical, claiming to be the bread, claiming to be from God, coming from heaven to earth to be with his people, to feed his people. And really, what he's saying is cannibalism, like, come eat from me. Do you want to be full? Do you want to be filled? Do you want to never thirst again? You must eat from my body and drink from my blood. So we got back to his birth, Bethlehem. So Jesus comes to this town that no one really knew or cared about. It came very insignificant. And he chooses Bethlehem. He was born of a virgin. There was no man that had any part in this other than to be engaged to her. The whole story just speaks of what we would not expect a true king to come. And that's what threw all these people off. He was also known, Jesus of Nazareth. A place, again, where no king would come from. So things keep on coming. Things just piling up on Jesus. Like, whoa. Like, why would God choose this way? It was a very strange way for God to do this. And how oftentimes do we, in our life, we look at God, and he comes into our life, but we don't want a certain part of that, of God in our life. Maybe that's, okay, I will take all the riches that he provides, all the wealth, prosperity, but I'm not willing to die. I'm going to leave that breadcrumb down. I'm not going to eat that piece of bread because I'm not willing to die. So last week, each of us took a piece of bread, and each of us, by symbolically taking that piece of bread and biting it, and that was a symbol of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for us. And what Jesus is asking us, that we must feed off of him. We must receive our inner man, hunger and thirst. It's only satisfied through him. But how many times do we look at Jesus and say, what? That's not what I was looking for. That's not what I was hoping for. Really? I'm going to say this. I'm not saying that this is just an example, but what would it look like? Okay, so we are praying, we are looking, we are hoping, we believe God is going to provide a way for us to build onto this building. And, well, what would it look like? Oh, got a dump. Now we got a school going to a dump that there's no classrooms, no running water, no nothing. I mean, that's not what we would expect, right? For our own lives, what do we expect in our own lives? For our houses, our jobs, our everything. And so often, I believe God did what he did by coming to this world, coming to Bethlehem, the house of bread. Because go ahead, next slide. My next slide is, why Bethlehem? So why did God choose Bethlehem? Why does God choose each and every one of us? Why does he give each of us the opportunity to now become that Bethlehem? Bethlehem, house of bread. House of bread. House also refers to temple. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. What in our lives resembles Bethlehem? Are we trying to make a name for ourselves? Seth Krause, big shiny lights, and everyone knows who Seth Krause is. Is that what I'm going for? that what the Holy Spirit wants to reign in, to reside in, to come down here on earth to serve the people around us? Or is it Bethlehem? So look at some of the ways the sacrifice, the perfect lamb. Jesus was also known as the perfect lamb. Peter 1:19. I'll just turn to that real quick. But with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. So just what we learned this morning and last week, that the Israelites, they had to get a lamb that was without blemish. They could not break any bones. They could not, there was a certain order. But guess what they also had to do with that lamb? They had to eat it. They had to partake in it. They had to take it. How useful is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, if we just say, I know Jesus Christ saved me, but I'm still here in chains, and I'm not taking the key to unlock it. We must partake. We must allow God to come in. How another symbol, look, a metaphor, is we have a delicious meal here. You can hear just the popping. It just came right out of the oven. The cheese is popping or whatever it is. You could smell it. The steam is rolling off of it. And you're just like, man, that's such a good meal. Our senses do that. We can sense that it's a good meal without tasting it. But is our hunger really fulfilled? No, we must take it and fill. Just as Jesus Christ, he was a perfect lamb. He was sacrificed. And if we just say, yes, Jesus was a perfect lamb, he was sacrificed for us, but not partake, not actually eat, what good is that? So why Bethlehem? Why you? Why me? Why does God choose us? Am I at a place where I am allowing God to be that place where he can come in and reside? Be that I am the house of bread, that I am partaking, that I am taking every piece of bread that comes and I'm taking it in. I want all of Jesus. Because this is not just a place of inaction. You know, I find it interesting. We talked about some things for the Israelites, what they had to do. They had to roast it with fire. They had to take it with bitter herbs. They had must be eaten without leaven. They must have staff in hand, shoes when they're ready to go. How many of us have our staff in hand, shoes ready to go? That way, once we partake that meal, are we really ready to go? Are we going out to help those who are hurt, help those who are in need of the good news? And we must eat all of it and not waste any of it. So I want to encourage everyone this Christmas season, not just to look at this Christmas season as a time where we just look at, oh, this is the normal, this is how it's been done. But let's actually look at our own lives and look at, okay, this is Jesus Christ has come and he's lived a life to rescue not only the few, but all. And that was one of the themes that was there last night. The theme of the story of Jesus was to rescue, a constant theme that kept coming back to Jesus. He was willing to leave the 99 to save the one. And so many of us, each and every one of us, we were in that place. If we can call ourselves children of God, Jesus has left the 99 to come and save you. And he wants all of you and every bit of you. And he wants to be fed, all of him, He wants to resign his whole self within each and every one of us. And church, why are we still hungry? Why are we still thirsty? Why are we not fulfilled? God has promised for it. We just need to eat it. We just need to drink it. Let's not be a church that is hungry anymore. Let's be a church that is filled on the gospel of Jesus Christ and continue to partake of him and continue to be fulfilled by Jesus Christ. And not question anymore. What? What is this? And put ourselves to the side, who we are, who we want, who we aspire to be. That goes to the side. I die to self, and Jesus, you come in and reign. Can we be a church that does that? Can we be a church that we are going to become Bethlehem? Bethlehem that will accept the Savior and into our hearts, into our lives, into the world around us. And everyone will say to us, what? Because what we're doing is just crazy. And that's the gospel. I believe that's why God has come, to put us amongst the people around us. No matter where we live, whether if it's in the middle of nowhere or in here in Lancaster City, God is using each and every one of us to share the good news, to show God's love, and to allow the hunger to become full again, the thirsty to thirst no more. That's what the gospel shares. So I encourage you guys to continue to explore that. Continue to look at, okay, what is this? What else in the Christmas story have I just overlooked?